Good morning, everybody. My name is Graham. I'm also on staff here at Tekau Community Church. If you're visiting us, very warm welcome to you. Isn't it a great joy to see children baptized? It always warms my heart to know that a family is following Jesus and puts their trust in the promise that, God has given us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning and this evening, that's what we're here for. We're here to remember Jesus, to look to him, and to place our trust in him. So I'm going to ask the Lord to help us to do that as we come to his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of year, the unique time of year that we're able to remember the coming of the Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be lifted to you, that our minds would be lifted to you, and that we would be encouraged and changed and transformed for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when it comes to Christmas, there's a variety of different people, a variety of responses and feelings around the season. Here's a few of the people that I've labeled. I know it's not good to label, but at this point, for this purpose, I think it is. There's the Christmas elf. I call them the Christmas elf. Those are the people who have been counting down the days to Christmas since last Christmas. And on Facebook, they give you an update. You know, it's 364 days till the next Christmas. It's 363 days till... And so it goes. That's the Christmas elf. Then there's the Grinch. You know the Grinch, the one who walks into the shops in October and sees the decorations and moans about it. I can't believe there's decorations already. But secretly, the Grinch loves Christmas. Then there's the Scrooge. We all know the Scrooge. He's complaining about Christmas from one year to the next and everywhere in between. Then there's what I like to call the Christmas strobe light. Do you know what a strobe light is? Not anyone in the first service knew what a strobe light is. It's that disco light that just flashes in your face. Okay, that's the Christmas strobe light. They are so excited about the traditions of Christmas, they can't stop telling you about it. They can't stop wearing red and white, and they love the constant string of parties. There's many different types of people at Christmas. I wonder what type of person you are. Maybe you can come tell me after the service. The truth is, this time of year elicits many, many emotions. Joy, celebration, love. But of course, it's also a very difficult time of the year, of grief and loss and loneliness. There's a little bit of a contrast of light and dark at Christmas, with Christmas lights and festivities, and also a Christmas depression. Well, whatever we feel about Christmas, when we begin to dig into the true meaning, we will come to hope, a hope that will never disappoint. See, at the heart of Christmas is Jesus Christ. It's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? Jesus Christ is the heart of Christmas. But I'm hoping this morning that our hearts and our eyes will be lifted above the cliche, to the Christ. Last week, we looked at the first three verses of John, and it lifted our eyes to the majesty and the mystery of Christmas. Remember these words: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is eternal, divine. He's the creator. These are the truths and realities that left me in awe last week as we considered who Jesus is. And no less today as we dig into what this text tells us this morning. There's two things that it wants to tell us. First one is that Jesus is light. Jesus is light. The word light is repeated seven times in just these six verses. It starts in verse 4. In him, in other words, in the Word, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. Now, light is a concept or a metaphor that is used throughout the scriptures, both in a literal sense and in a figurative sense. Literally, God created the light that gives light to all the world. Figuratively, light is seen as morally good, as opposed to darkness that is morally bad. Now, in the Old Testament, the presence of an unusual light generally meant the presence of God, like when he led Israel in the wilderness in a fiery cloud. This light both guarded and protected God's people. Metaphorically, in the Old Testament, the light is also a reference to God's word. So God's word is a light unto our feet, a light that reveals, that shines a light on God, on his character, and on his nature. The light, the word of God, reveals who God is and lights the way to him. So when John says in the opening chapter of his gospel that Jesus is light, all of this Old Testament comes flooding into view because Jesus is morally light. He is good. He is pure. He is perfect. Jesus is God's presence and his protection. See, when John says Jesus is the light, he's telling us that he is the one who shines a light on who God is and lights the way to him. Now, a bedtime at my house always has a variety of surprises. The kids are in bed, the lights are off, and it's that moment that all parents know. You know that moment when you can sit down. You haven't stopped all day. You can enjoy that moment of freedom. And then a little while later, not too long, there's a noise. You can't figure out whether it's crying or laughing or anybody's killing each other. So you go and investigate. You peek in and you can't see a thing because the lights are off. Although it's funny, my wife never has to turn the lights on. She knows exactly what's going on as though she can see in the dark. But I need to put on the light. So I go to the light switch, and as I click, the truth is revealed. The kids have turned their bedroom upside down in 5 minutes flat. I can never understand how they do it. But as that light goes on, the truth is revealed. The chaos is revealed. See, Christ comes into the world. He lights up the world. And he lights up who God is. The truth of God. So that we can see. See, when Jesus was born, God's people, Israel, had been waiting in eager expectation for God's arrival on the scene. In fact, they had been waiting 400 years. 400 years when there was no word from God, no prophet from God. They wanted to hear his voice again. They wanted to see the arrival of the Messiah. They were searching for light and life. Then came John the Baptist, as we know. People gathered to him. All the people from Jerusalem, we were told, went out to the Jordan. See, they were hoping that he was the light because he was the one who spoke the word of God and he was announcing that the kingdom has come. But he wasn't the light. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now, John the Baptist must have had some sort of credibility about him for people to think that he was the light. He was a man who obviously spoke the word of God in power and a man that lived out the reality of God's word. But this man was not the light. See, John's job was to be a credible voice in pointing out the Lamb, in pointing out the light. And that light had arrived in the flesh, in John's very own time. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John the Baptist attested to Jesus as the light. But Jesus himself also told us that he's the light. In John chapter 8, he says this to the whole of Jerusalem, I am the light of the world. See, the light points us to God. It shines a light on him. And so when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, that's what he's telling us that he's doing. He's revealing God and the way to God. He says as much in the rest of John's gospel when he says to them, to his disciples, if you know me, you know the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. I am the light that reveals God and the way to God. Now, I wonder if you've ever wondered why there are Christmas lights. Why do we have lights at Christmas? Well, it's meant to point to Jesus, the light. In fact, legend has it that the reformer Martin Luther in the 16th century was one of the first people who put lit candles on Christmas trees. Of course, a candle or even a string of Christmas lights can only light up so much, perhaps a Christmas tree or even a small room. But Jesus is the greater light who sheds light on who God is and how we come to him. When we hear Jesus claim to be the light, when we hear John's gospel tell us that Jesus is the light, it means he's the one who shines into a dark place, who reveals the truth of God and reveals the way to God. But ultimately, this light is about life. It's the light that sheds a light on life because Jesus is life. See, if you read carefully, you'll see that John starts this section with life. And in fact, life is actually the main point. Even though the word light comes more than the word life, it's all about life. Look at verse 4. In him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. See, Jesus is life. This is not to be read as something in the past tense, as though Jesus was life then. It is, in fact, something that's meant to be seen as present and future. In Jesus, life has always existed and will always exist. Of course, the idea follows on naturally from verse 3, doesn't it? Because we've just been told that the Word is Creator, the Creator of all. Colossians 1, verse 16 has the same view of Jesus Christ. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth. All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The creator, the sustainer, is Jesus Christ. He, therefore, is the one who defines life. He himself personifies life, and true life is found in him and him alone. True life, as it is intended, in all its fullness, is found in him. Life eternal is found in him. If you want to know what true life is, to define life or to find life, we go to Jesus. Where else would you find what life is about but in the author of life? See, the majesty and the mystery of Christmas is that the author of life took on flesh. The author of life took on flesh. True life came into the world. And so in the incarnation, we have a 3D model of true life. See, in the beginning, Adam and Eve were meant to be the true reflection of life given by God. They were meant to reflect his image, but they failed. Israel, God's chosen people, were also meant to reflect true life. They were meant to be the light to the Gentiles. But they also failed. And so the story goes. We all fail to reflect the true light. We all fail to reflect the true life. But then God did the unthinkable. He came himself so that we could see and experience true life. We recently did a number of talks that were given by Stephen Murray, which included a talk called Jesus, a Most Compelling Man. And in that talk, he articulated how the life of Jesus is without equal. See, as you walk through the Gospels, you get the sense, don't you? You get the sense that Jesus is unlike anyone else in history. He is without equal. He trusts the Father in all things all the time. His love is immeasurable. His compassion, his mercy, his humility, his determination, his courage. He was a man without sin or blemish. And his only offense? Speaking the truth. Bringing the light. See, there is no one else in history who comes close to Jesus' example. And that's because he is the true life. He is the real life as it's meant to be. And more than this, more than just being the true life, he's the one who brings true life to all mankind. See, when Jesus says in John chapter 8 that I am the light of the world, he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, he gives true life, eternal life to those who follow him. The light came, entered the darkness of this world, not to just be a pretty light to be looked at, but a light to defeat the darkness. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, Jesus entered this world of darkness, this moral corruption, to bring life and to rescue us from darkness. Not only from the darkness within, but the darkness all around us. Of course, the light of the world didn't receive a very good warm welcome, did he? Because the darkness ultimately hates the light. See, that's why people put Jesus on the cross. They were trying to snuff out the light, to put it out, so that they could continue to live the way they wanted to. But here's the thing. In that moment of darkness, when they strung him on the tree, when that cloud of darkness came over, that's when the true light was defeating the darkness, defeating sin and death. Because here's the truth. The life giver, the author of life, gave his life to give us life. The life giver gave his life to bring us life eternal. That's the message of Christmas. The light that has come into a dark place to drive away the darkness and to bring eternal life. So what shall we do? What shall we do? Well, Jesus tells us, follow me. Follow. Follow me and receive eternal life. Friends, Christmas time elicits so many different feelings and experiences because it's a time of year that brings the stark reality of life right to the forefront. You know what it's like when you begin to slow down and you have that moment to reflect on the year that's passed. And you know what? We don't always like what we see. We don't always like what we see. Or that moment when our families get together and we don't always like what we see. Or we hate the fact that there are people who are not there that we will not see in this lifetime again. And it pains. It hurts. We don't like that experience. And that's because we are in the reality of the midst of darkness. This time of year brings us back to the reality, the stark reality of life and the fact that we are all searching for real life, true life that brings light to our hearts and our futures. Well, Jesus is where that life is found because in him is eternal life, forgiveness, relationship with God. He has separated us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. He has blown away the darkness in our own hearts and filled us with light and life. Friends, this morning, won't you follow Jesus to experience the dark clouds of your sin being blown away and separated from you and being restored in relationship with God? Will you receive eternal life this Christmas? Turn to Jesus. Today's the day to turn to Jesus. And friends, if you've received life in Jesus, then let us worship Jesus. Let us adore him at this time of the year. See, the only appropriate response to what's at the heart of Christmas is worship and adoration. Because the light came into the darkness. God came into our mess. Into our mess and our darkness. He didn't have to, but he did. And he came to bring us light and life. That's praiseworthy. That's worth adoration. So we must ask. We must ask ourselves, is worship at the heart of our Christmas? I wonder what your Christmas parties have looked like so far. I wonder what your Christmas dinners are going to look like. Food, music, drink. But the question is, at the end of that day, will our guests be very clear that that was all about Jesus? Or will we leave that day behind wondering what in the world we just did? Will our kids finish the school holidays and think it's just been about them and the presents and keeping them entertained? Or will our life be filled with worship at this time of the year? We do, many of us get an opportunity to slow down, but do we slow down to worship? Or do we slow down to get on with what we want to do? I know it's tough questions. They're very tough questions. But at least the Lord has posed them to us so that we can stop and worship. Perhaps you just want to change one thing about this Christmas. One thing. At your Christmas table, bring out the Bible. Read the scriptures. Sing about Christmas. I know we only sing these songs once a year, so they're not that familiar, but you've got YouTube. Throw YouTube up. It'll sing the songs for you, and you can bumble along as you go. But worship Jesus at Christmas. Let your hearts be filled with the mystery and the wonder of Christ as we adore him and as we worship him. I pray that this Christmas we will be filled with Christ and we will be filled with hope. See, because in the midst of the darkness, even if we've had a rough year, in the midst of the darkness, there is eternal hope. That one day, Jesus will blow away all the darkness. In fact, the book of Revelation tells us that in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no sun, because you won't need a sun, because the light of God will shine into all the corners of the earth. There will be no more darkness and pain and suffering. And that's the hope of Christmas. That's the light of Christmas. Let's pray.